Please open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 9. couple of announcements while I'm thinking of it. I think I'm going to look to you for confirmation of this. Is next Sunday the time change? Aha. Okay. Well, see, I don't even need to announce it, because you already know. But next Sunday, spring forward, this is the hard one. You know, we were just talking a few minutes ago about this. This is the tough one because you do lose an hour of sleep. But I know that you will all be here because you are the spiritual ninja of Christ Presbyterian Church. That's right. Ready. And I will attempt to plan a particularly exciting sermon. Yes. What's that? Rest in the Lord. There you go. Yeah, well, the psalmist said he gives sleep to his beloved. So, we're continuing our Wednesday night Zoom Bible study. It's short. We go 7 to 7:30. We're working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and I lead that. And so if you would like to be a part of that, and you're not on that distribution, email distribution, just talk to me after worship, and so I can send you the Zoom link, and you can join in. So, we started in 1 Peter last Sunday, and we're going to be looking at 1 Peter through the remainder of the season of Lent. And one of Peter's great themes is that he is speaking to Christians who are strangers in a strange land. He calls them exiles, remember? Because they are living in a world where they're no longer at home, because they've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that makes them stand out in a dying world. And what was true of Christians then is true of Christians today. We are exiles. Our true home is in heaven. And once again, that does not mean that we just become heavenly minded and wait till we go to heaven and forget about God's world. No, we're here with a mission. We're here to be salt and light. We are here to share the good news of Jesus with our neighbors. But sometimes that rubs the wrong way, and that's where we're going to start in today. I'm going to read chapter 1, beginning with verse 3 and through verse 9. Hear now the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Remember that Peter is writing to Christians in what we call Asia Minor. At least we used to call it that when I was a kid and learning geography. Modern Turkey. And he's writing to Christians who were suffering. In verse 6, he says, you've been grieved by various trials. Now, it's absolutely essential that we understand why they were suffering. And because if we don't get why they were suffering, we'll miss the whole point of 1 Peter. It's obvious that people suffer for a lot of different reasons. The Buddhists have a saying, which is really true. They like to say, all life is suffering. Suffering will come, they're onto something. Suffering comes into every life, doesn't it? And people suffer for a lot of different reasons. Some people bring suffering on themselves. Our prisons and county jail filled with people who've brought suffering on themselves. Some people are lonely and isolated because they've pushed away anybody that might have cared for them. Some people have ruined their health with destructive habits and addictions. Some people suffer through no fault of their own. They get sick, or the illness or death of a loved one. Sometimes the actions of other people can bring suffering into your life. You lose your job in a bad economy. You're abandoned by a spouse. You're a victim of a crime. There's lots of ways that people can suffer through no fault of their own. But the Christians of Asia Minor were not suffering for any of these reasons. And we will miss Peter's message completely if we don't see why they were suffering. These Christians were suffering because they were Christian and for no other reason. Their commitment to following Jesus Christ led them to believe and live against the grain of a world that's in rebellion against God. They had the fruit of salvation in their lives. They were different because of Jesus, and that was rubbing a sinful society the wrong way. I was going to say New Testament, but it's actually true of the whole Bible. In the Bible, suffering follows salvation as night follows day. Throughout Scripture, people whose lives are committed to God experience resistance and suffering in the world. In fact, you might say in the Bible, salvation and suffering are inseparable. Jesus said, now this is in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Jesus said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. You follow that? Because you belong to me, said Jesus. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my account. Because you name my name, because you belong to me. Rejoice and be glad, he went on. Why? It's a sign of the authenticity of our commitment, that his presence in our lives. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, now, that's Jesus. Listen to what Paul said. This is in 2 Timothy. Paul said, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Wow. All who desire to live a godly life, will be persecuted. There is a resistance to God that's built into the warp and woof of, by the way, I don't know what warp and woof is, but I like the sound of it. There is a resistance to God that's built into a godless world. And when we receive Christ and he becomes the directing center of our lives, it's going to go against the grain of a godless world, and there will be opposition, sometimes subtle, sometimes overt. There are usually as American Christians, we think of persecution of Christians happening somewhere else, don't we? Somewhere outside this country where we have religious freedom and where our society for so long assumed Christianity and assumed an honored place for faith. Now, I think that's changing. We're watching it change before our eyes, but I still you want to see really persecuted Christians, you do have to go outside this country. Some of you have followed in the news what's going on, what's been going on for a number of years now with Christians in China and the persecution there of Christians who refuse to register with the government and follow government guidelines. It's not just guidelines, government edicts for their worship. There is what they call a registered church in China, those that are willing to register with the government and do things like, and I'm not making this up, if you're a registered church in China, you have to take out any pictures that you might have of Jesus and replace them with pictures of Xi Jinping. You have to take out any crosses and replace them with a hammer and sickle. And every worship service has to include a patriotic song singing the praises of the Communist Party. Some Christians in China refuse to do that. They will not register. And just a couple of years ago, in 2018, there's a church that gained worldwide notoriety, and we need to continue to be praying for them. The Early Rain Covenant Church, and their pastor, Wang Yi, was arrested and is serving a 9-year prison sentence because of his commitment to Jesus Christ. And I've got to say that as I watch that from the wonderful safe distance of the United States of America, and the beautiful state of Idaho, I can't help but think about the lack of suffering in my own life and in the lives of most of the Christians that I know. And I want to ask you, are you suffering? Have you suffered because you belong to Jesus? And do you know anyone who has suffered because you belong to Jesus? Now, I don't mean to discount other kinds of suffering, because as I said earlier, people suffer for all kinds of reasons and outside of our control, and God has compassion and will use that suffering to shape you to be more like Christ. But I'm talking today, and Peter is talking specifically about the suffering that comes because we belong to Jesus. And there's a troubling conclusion that I really can't avoid, that our lack of suffering is due at least in part to a lack of nerve. That our commitment to Jesus ought to create more friction with a godless world. There ought to be a few more sparks. Now, I also want to caution that it's possible to be disliked and rejected simply for being obnoxious. That happens all the time. That's not being persecuted for righteousness' sake. I got to tell you, I'm looking at my watch, but yeah, it doesn't work anyway. So, when I was in college, there was a preacher, a traveling preacher that traveled up and down California, and I went to Fresno State. By the way, did you notice Fresno State beat the Broncos in basketball Tuesday night? Yes. Anyway, I was a student at Fresno State, and there was a fellow that used to wander up and down California doing open-air preaching on college campuses, and everybody called him Holy Hubert. I have no idea what his name was, but you can still, by the way, just Google Holy Hubert, and you can read all about him. He's thankfully with the Lord now and no longer tormenting college students. But his method of drawing a crowd, he would stand up in the free speech area, and he would just wait for somebody to walk by closely, and he'd say, "You filthy little pervert." And most people would ignore him, but he would keep doing that, insulting people, until somebody stopped and started giving it back to him. Then, that draws a crowd, right? That was his method of drawing a crowd, just insult people until somebody said, "Okay, buddy," you know, and somebody started giving it back to him, and bingo, he had a crowd. It's not incidental that Holy Hubert was missing a lot of teeth. It's possible to be persecuted simply for being obnoxious. But I want you to notice something very important in this text. These Christians are being persecuted not just because of their commitment to Jesus, but because of their love for Jesus. That's the source of it. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But the heart of the Christian faith is new birth through Jesus Christ. Peter says we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And because we belong to Jesus and because we love him, there's going to be differences. And our very existence challenges two commitments that the world holds dear. First of all, the world is absolutely committed to pluralism, that there are many options in life. There are many religious options, and they're all about the same. There is no such thing as truth. But the Christian gospel says that salvation is found in Christ and in him alone, and only for those who trust in him. So the world is absolutely committed to that pluralism, and we will go against the grain. And the world is absolutely committed to the pride of human life that says, I do not need God. Or I'll talk to him when I get in a real jam. Peter says we've been born again to a living hope. Human pride was perfectly encapsulated in a bumper sticker I once saw that said, born just fine the first time, thank you. Now, it's very obvious where that was directed. That's the heart expression of a rebellious human race. Born just fine the first time. And human pride today, especially, and by the way, this was in the ancient world too, especially in the area of sexuality today. Now, why sex? Consider popular movies and television, popular music, the explosion of internet pornography. The modern world worships sex and sees the meaning of life in sexual fulfillment. And who we belong to is ultimately, as I said, a question of love. Listen to verse 8 again. Though you have not seen him, that is Jesus. Now, this is interesting because Peter had seen him. Peter was an eyewitness. But he's talking to people who had never seen Jesus physically. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So, I want to leave you with a challenge today. What or who do you most love? What or who do you most love? And you might say, well, my family. And that's good that you love your family, but you know your family can be taken away from you. What will you then love? Many people today don't like to admit it, but what they love most is comfort, economic comfort, the comfort of safety. That can be taken away too. Ask the Christians in China. Then what will you most love? In the second century, about 100 years after the time that Peter wrote this letter, the first recorded Christian martyr outside the New Testament, Polycarp. He was the bishop of Smyrna, which is modern Izmir, Turkey. Polycarp was arrested because of his faith in Jesus Christ. Persecution had come because Christians would not bow to Caesar as a god. Polycarp refused to go into the temple of Caesar and put a pinch of incense on the altar and say, Caesar is Lord. He was arrested. He was taken to a public square and tied to a stake. and surrounded with wood and brush to be burned to death. And he was given one last opportunity to renounce Christ. And by the way, Polycarp at that time was 86 years old. He had been a Christian since the time he was a boy. The early church historian Eusebius tells us that Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John. And they offered him one last time to renounce Christ and worship Caesar. And Polycarp says, 86 years I have served him, and he has never failed me. How could I then blaspheme my Savior and Lord? Do what you will. Now, we might think that's a lot of courage. Yeah, it is, but primarily it's love. As we move in, deeper in, to an increasingly secular society, in an increasingly secular era, and not just secular, but pagan, which is going to be more and more hostile to the good news of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the question for us, who do we love? Who do you love? And remember, we love because he first loved us. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this challenging word from your Apostle Peter. By your Holy Spirit, redirect our hearts. Increase our love for Jesus, our Savior, that the world would see a difference in us, even if it brings persecution and resistance. May the world see a difference in our love. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.